coming to you from across the planet via Anchor and Apple, Anchor FM, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other listening platforms where podcasts are heard. Welcome everyone to the Dan Morrow Show. I am Dan Morrow. With me is a longtime friend, entertainer, actor, writer, producer extraordinaire, and one-time restaurant impresario, Mr. Manny Mertes. How you doing?
I'm great, man. Thank you so much for having me on.
You got your own show going on.
Yeah. It's called The Hook Exhibit. Mm-hmm. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I just started, have a few episodes under my belt.
And I see you eyeing up my...
Yeah, I'm digging the equipment.
the equipment. This was a game changer. This is called the Roadcaster. And it's a recorder. It's made just for podcasts.
Definitely going to look into it.
So it accepts four mics,
nice,
four headphones, Bluetooth, so I could take phone calls.
That's sweet.
And what was also cool is if I needed to play a video or a sound bite, I could just cue it up on YouTube on my phone, play it, and
Bluetooth
I got it.
In. That's fantastic.
I can also awesome. USB something, a computer or another external computer. It's got a little, it was meant for podcasts, so it's got a whole bunch of little gag things.
That's cool. That's so awesome.
You know,
that's so
and
awesome.
And then these are little pads. I'm showing him this piece of equipment. There's all these colored pads on here, and they're sound effects. And they give all kind of, if I just tap it, I'll get a rim shot. But I can also... record things and make them be other things. So if I want to, I made these intros to other shows.
That's really, really cool.
Yeah. So I think this was Chris Flickinger's intro. Yeah, that was his, and you could do all kind of things. For some reason, if I re-hit anything I recorded into it, it won't stop it. It'll just keep going. But this is a game changer for podcasters and stuff. And if you have to cough, I got a cough button. If I got to mute you or something, and it records it on a little small SD card, just plug it into computer and send it off.
That is awesome. I haven't gotten quite that techy
but
yet.
But you're doing video stuff, and
yeah,
I have to ask how what's your setup for that? Because when I'm able to watch it on the computer, but it's split screen, and you know, are you filming the screen? Are you? What's your setup for that?
I have my DSLR camera set mm-hmm. up on me, and then the split screen comes actually from when I record Zoom.
Okay,
I'm doing it on Zoom. I'm also recording the voice part of it via Audacity, mm-hmm. that app. Then I clean it up, meaning like if there's any background noise type of stuff. But for the most part, there isn't.
Okay, so your show is a recorded Zoom.
It is a recorded Zoom.
I just realized you could do that, and that's a game changer.
Oh yeah, yeah,
that's a game changer.
And their audio is actually pretty darn good. Mm-hmm. Zoom's audio when you record it and all that stuff. And then I split up the files through the Audacity app.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, clean it up a little. Clean it up, meaning it doesn't sound. It sounds clear. It sounds crisp. So that helps out a lot. I figure that out on my own. It took me a while because I'm not too tech savvy, but it's working.
And it's the future. It's absolutely the future. Everything. It's a level playing field now.
Yeah.
You know, when you started in the business and I started in the business, it's trying to get your foot into the door for someone else to either invest in you or, you know, get a show. You know, I got a script. We'll get in line with all the other guys that got scripts. You know, try to find a production deal. Now it's just a matter of just you could do it yourself.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And the main thing, from what I believe in and research that I've done is getting it out as much as possible. Marketing, you know, if you're on a budget, mm-hmm. Via social media, even if it does just get like you know one like, it doesn't matter. People are still seeing it.
Just get content.
Just get it out there. Don't worry about the likes. I learned that off of Gary Vaynerchuk.
Mm-hmm.
He's a huge inspiration to me. I was more worried about likes, thinking that so many people would look at it. But then just hearing them over and over again, don't worry about the likes. Don't you know? Just get genuine content out there. People will eventually like look, follow, you know, be consistent, mm-hmm. basically in getting content out there. So
yeah, his thing was content over quality. Just get content yep. out. You don't need a I got a cough real that did nothing. We're in the same room, and if I mute your mic, if I mute my mic, you're going to hear it on your mic anyway. And it's just allergies. It's not COVID. Yeah,
I hope so.
Yeah.
No, I got you, bro. No, but, same here with me.
I listen to Gary Vee a lot, and he really stressed the whole content over quality. You don't need to. People feel strapped right now. You know, I want to get a podcast show out there. I want to get a YouTube show out there. I can't do it without the $5,000 recording system and the $2,000 camera. And Gary, he's the one that introduced me to Anchor.
Oh, wow.
I put all my podcasts on the Anchor site.
Right, right, right.
Which is a free platform. Yep. And from there it goes, they'll do all the work and put it out to iTunes and Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
That's exactly the same thing I did.
And he said, you know, yep. All you're doing is just, you can use your phone, talk on your phone, mm-hmm. share your thoughts, and post it. And that's all it took. You just getting the content out there. Gary Vee was a big, big influence for me.
That same here. He's proven. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And besides the fact that he's a cool dude, you got to admit, he's, you know, he's a Jersey guy. For me at least.
And he walks the walk. He yep. talks the talk. He walks yep. the walk, because there's not a day goes by where he is just throwing out content yep. constantly.
Yep. You're absolutely right.
Yep. Even if it's 80% of it is the exact same message in
yeah.
all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. You're absolutely
it's,
right.
It's, you know, if you're looking for something new, you're not going to get it. And he said, you're not going to get it from him. You know, I'm just pushing the message until you embrace it.
You're absolutely
and
right.
And then show me what you've done with what I've told you.
And that's what I like about him. He's consistent, as you had mentioned. He's consistent. He doesn't pull any punches. He mm-hmm. tells it how it is. You know, if you're not, you know, successful, or if you're not successful, is it because you're playing on Madden nonstop, or not nonstop, but taking mm-hmm. the few extra hours to play Madden, or you should take the few extra hours to, you know, perfect your craft as much as possible, hone your craft as much mm-hmm. as possible. And that's why I love the guy. I mean, I never met the guy, but
no,
he spits the truth.
He makes you accountable.
Yep.
For what are your limits? You know, what are your goals? If you want to be happy, well, first off, can you be happy with as little things as possible, with yep. as little as possible? Can you be happy? If you did, you win.
That's it.
Okay. If you feel you need to hustle more and you want to reach a certain pinnacle and get to a certain zenith, you got to work for it. If you think that'll make you happy, then you just got to work for it to be happy. And that's his, really, that's his message, just how to find happiness.
Yeah. You're absolutely right.
And if you think it's going to be just living simple, then do it. If you think it's going to be through creating something that's going to involve hard work and stuff, do it. But you're going to be accountable for all of it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, he says it a lot. At first, I'll be honest, at first when he was like, college is no good. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've heard him say that a million times.
Well, I agree. I agree from right. high school.
Right. And, you know, like most of us, we were mm-hmm. the opposite. We were raised with the opposite. You need a college degree, so on and so right. forth. But then after hearing him say, you know, it doesn't make sense. And now, of course, you know, throughout so many years since we've graduated, what good has those college courses done us in real life? And, you know, there's no practical use
right.
for it.
You know right. I mean?
And if it's for some, like he said, if you're going to be a doctor, yeah, you need college. But if you're going to be something else where there's no practical use, why put yourself in debt and, you know, waste those years doing it?
Exactly. I've always said, if I can come up with the money to go to college, I wouldn't need to go to college.
that's awesome.
And I've always lived by that. And I broke it down to five categories. Unless you're going to be in education, science, medicine, law, or engineering, you do not need college.
I agree. I agree. There's no disputing that.
No.
You can't.
You do not need college. I've seen kids who are spending thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars for the chance to do what I do.
Yeah.
They take the music classes and the music courses and audiovisual. And I'm saying, whatever you're going to learn right now, you can learn on YouTube.
Yep.
And he's like, well, you know, I get to use their equipment and stuff, and I get some networking. Networking's great, and that's probably the only advantage that would ever come from that.
Right.
But all that money that you're going to put in there, you could have really had a really nice, for what you would pay for one semester, you could set yourself up with a production suite that would blow everything out of the water.
And another thing that Gary V points out, like to volunteer, you know, you're not making money, but you volunteer your time to, you know, just private message a whole bunch of, you know, big shots or whatever, people that, you know, peers that you would look up to, and work for them for free. Great chance to network. You don't have to spend any money, and you're learning hands-on stuff that you don't necessarily learn in school, in the classroom, which I really love that the most. And I wish I had that thrown at me, you know, years ago, but it is what it is, better late than never type of deal, you know?
Well, yeah. The bottom line is it's not who you know, it's who knows you.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
So that is, I'm going to let out probably the biggest secret I've with this show. That is the reason I do the show.
That's awesome.
That's the only reason I do this.
That's cool.
Cause I feel I can say, hey, Mr. Rock and Roll guy or Mr. TV guy, you know, can I talk to you for a few seconds? No, I'm sorry. I just don't have the time. Okay, I'm sorry. If I say, hi, my name is Dan Morrow. I have a podcast show that reaches, you know, X amount of people, and I would love to pick your brain. And I find, you know, I'm only looking for people that are interesting and people that I admire and I feel that are relevant to my audience. Can I interview you? They're like, sure.
That's cool.
And that's how I get them. I'm doing this more for my own knowledge than for the audience. If the audience gets something out of it, that's great. And and that's the double, the extra point for me.
Right.
But I do it for myself. I had a TV show called Out of the Box that I was doing on YouTube, and I was able to talk to some of the most amazing people. I spoke to the owner of B101.
Oh, no kidding. That's
Jerry
cool.
Lee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he owned the actual Aston Martin DB5 from Goldfinger.
No shit.
Yeah, it sold it for $2 million and went into
Hey, buddy.
There's a dog right here.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, we're in the middle of this interview, and this huge canine just walked in to make sure Manny had nothing on him, and it went directly to Manny. But that's what I did. I would do that under the guise of my YouTube show or the podcast to get guests that I know I might not ever get if I just call them out of the blue or call the fan club.
Right, all right. Right, that's all. That's really cool.
Hi, I'm just a fan. Can I have, this?
That was awesome.
You can totally shut that.
That's awesome.
It's never dull here. It's never dull. And I felt like I would be learning something. I'm learning something creative, and I can share that with my audience.
Yeah, and you know what? That's what it's all about, sharing your content out there, because people, you shed a different light to your perspective that people may not have looked at it that way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's what I really dig about podcasts and just other people's content as well. And keep an open mind along with it. That I think that helps out everybody in the long run, you know?
Now, how would you describe your show? What would be your main?
My show is, first off, I did it for the same reason, for myself. You know what I mean? I am an actor. You mentioned that with the whole COVID-19 thing, there was nothing going on. I said, you know what? I love music. I have nothing going on. I got the bare bones of, you know, my laptop, a camera, and just set everything up. And I created a podcast to where I think it could pique people's interest to where, like for instance, one of my go-to songs, it's about comparing go-to songs for whatever mood. And for example, a quick example, one of my favorite go-to songs for working out is by Prodigy. It gets my blood flowing, but it also reminds me of when I was in a Tough Man competition back years and years ago, and it helped me get going. Never boxed before a day in my life. And I got into the ring and I did well. I ended up in the semifinals out of the 20 guys or whatever, tournament style. And the guy that I fought against that I beat up, well, no, I'm sorry, that he beat me up. It was just one punch. It was so funny. But he ended up being pro, 14th ranked in the world, so on and so forth. But the whole premise of it is sharing everyone's go-to songs based on personal experiences. And they get to spill their gut, not necessarily spill their guts out, but share it. You know what I mean? And that way, I think it's pretty cool. People get to experience and see different experiences through other people, and it could be that very same song. You know what I mean? So that's what my show is about. Again, the Hook Exhibit, like one of my favorite ones is by Let It Be by the Beatles. And the hook, when you find yourself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me. I hold that dear to my heart. Just that part of the song, the entire song, yes, but just that right. part of the song. It just reminds me of, you know, I was, you know, at a down time, and my family and friends rallied around me and my family to, you know, hey, it's okay, things are going to be all right. So that was, you know, and if people can relate to that, great, you know, and people could possibly pull out something from that song or another song that they have close and dear to their heart that reminds them of something similar to that.
So to show, you have one guest and you talk about one song.
We have one song, what they have going on.
But it's the whole history for that person, why that song is so special to them. Why that song is in...
Maybe not necessarily a whole history. Well, mm-hmm. that certain part of history, that certain personal experience that mm-hmm. they, that reminds them, you know, of like, you know, back in the day, like the past few episodes were, with the whole COVID thing going on, they want to think about uplifting stuff because they've been cooped up in the house. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty funny. A couple of the episodes are pretty funny what they came up with, like to, you know, to bring a smile to her face and laugh and all that. So it was pretty cool.
Now, what are your top three go-to songs?
Oh, what type of mood?
You know exactly. what I mean? Right.
What type of mood? Working out, like my playlist, I'm all over the place. I got anywhere from Rob Zombie to Guns N' Roses to Eric B. and Rakim. You know what I mean? Those in order. And then you got Prodigy. I mean, it's just music that's, to me, for working out or getting into maybe, not necessarily just working out, but getting ready for an intense scene. I get to that place and I just like change into another person and, you know, I want to go after, you know, that type of deal. Cause I can cast a lot for the bad guy. So it's fun. Mm-hmm. It's cool.
You like the bad guy parts. They gotta be fun.
Oh yeah. You get to really, you know, do whatever, you know what I mean? And get away with it.
Right.
Not really get away with it, but you know what I
mean? Pardon me. You took a transition in your life. You were doing all kind of things, and you had your fingers in all kind of little projects and stuff, and you were doing restaurants and mm-hmm. and that's where we reconnected.
Yes.
We went to school together, yes. but we reconnected when you had your restaurant.
Yeah.
And a couple extra pounds on you.
Yep.
And you go from there and you're doing this. Everything you're doing is consistent to what is expected from a blue collar worker or, you know, just a hard worker, everything like that. So now you say, okay, now I'm going to act.
Mm-hmm. It's started about 6-7 years ago.
Yeah. It's been a while. And what is everyone thinking when you're saying you're going to act? Because they know, okay, man, he's going to be doing this kind of project. Normal stuff that people can wrap their heads around.
Right.
You know, that's what I mean when I'm saying the blue collar thing. You're doing stuff that people can wrap their heads around that makes sense to the majority of people.
Correct. Yes.
In especially in a state where, you know, it's a labor driven state. It's mm-hmm. a working class state, and you're saying, okay, I want to, you know, I want to dance. I must dance. I want to act.
Right. Right.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Well, I have always wanted to act, mm-hmm. I guess secretly. I never put it out there. Not that I was trying to keep a secret. I just always wanted to. And when, after the restaurant had closed down, I got into, you know, selling mortgages and all that stuff. And then I saw I had some extra time. So I'm like, you know what, let me try. I mean, you know, there's nothing worse than regretting what you could have done. So I said, you know what, screw it. Let me just do it. And, you know, after my first class, I fell in love with it. Really, really cool. I started off in Atlantic City, with, Weiss Baron and Ryan, mm-hmm. Good peeps out there. And then I went into the Philly area. I established quite a few connections there, or friendships there, very extremely valuable friendships. And now I'm, you know, recently I just got signed. I didn't make a big deal about it, but right before the whole COVID thing, I got signed by an agent in New York.
Cool.
Prestige Management. Yeah.
It's congratulations.
Super cool. So, and along the way, it's, again, back to what Gary Vee's going, I finally found or got into something I really, really enjoy. I love cooking. That's why I had the restaurants before. It's just, unfortunately, I don't have the resource to open back up. And after the lesson that I learned, I wouldn't do it unless I had a boatload of money,
right,
to do it again. But this doesn't cost me any money. It cost me a little bit of my time, but I am so enjoying it. Mm-hmm. Getting to A, meet amazing people. I mean, I'm sure you know in your work yeah. field with music, meeting amazing people, creating that bond and friendship and family with other people from all over the place, and also just being able to play that character. You know what I mean?
But did you get any flack from friends and stuff?
Oh my God, yeah. You know, you're 40 years old, 40 something years old.
Exactly.
What the hell are you doing? I'm like, okay.
You just did it anyway.
I said, okay.
Because you have to.
Yeah, that was my, I don't want to say drug, but that was fulfilling me. That was making mm-hmm. me feel good. You know what I mean? I really didn't yeah. care. I mean, that's how I always was, kind of like, I didn't care what people said. My parents were they were like, they shook their heads. I paid attention to more of their response because they were my parents. But, when I explained to them, I said, look, it's not hurting my family life. It's not like I'm doing it every day. You know, we'll see what happens. I'm enjoying it. And they're like, okay, you know, whatever. And that was it.
Because, and it's really not, you feel like you're taking this big risk and you're taking a chance at times, and you can't find anyone to understand you or to see your perspective until you start meeting other people that think like that.
Likewise, and, correct.
And it's one thing to be in LA, mm-hmm. and you can be in the center of LA and come up with the craziest idea and just say it out of the blue to somebody that you just met at a restaurant, and they'll get you.
Right.
They'll totally right. understand you, because that's what they do down there. That's why they're there. There's no native LA resident. You know, they're all from yeah, right. other parts of the country.
And the world, yeah.
And the world
yeah.
to be there for that specific reason. LA is a breeding ground for creativity, for acting, for artists. And if you're in South Jersey and you say, I want to act, not even in a major city.
Right.
But you're just in a suburb saying, I want to act. You know, there's no one to really relate to. You know, for me, I really had a problem trying to have people relate to me for what I wanted to do, because it couldn't compute in their comprehension.
Right. I agree. I definitely agree. I've experienced that as well.
Because it's a 9-to-5 world. And you're discussing doing things out of that
yep.
norm.
For our world, it's 12-to-12.
Yeah.
Like nonstop.
Yeah, it's very nonstop. It becomes your life. Yeah,
But at the same time, we love what we do, and if you love what you do, and then eventually start getting compensated for it to pay your bill, I mean, that you can't ask for anything else.
No, that's when you win.
Exactly. You pay your bills and happy, and you know you do things on your terms, and with what you enjoy and thoroughly love. Because I'm sure we both, I know, I'm sure you know, people that make a boatload of money, but they are miserable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And okay, you know, have fun with your whatever life that, you know what I mean? It's just, and if that works for them, it works for them. But for me, it's more at my age right now. I just turned 50.
Recently, like yes, a day or two ago.
Friday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
29th.
Yes, 29th. And it like the old, I started about 6-7 years ago. And as time is going on, it's like, all right, I don't want to sound cliche with my cousin Vinny, but my biological clock is ticking.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I want to get it going. I want to, you know, establish myself. And I'm having fun doing it. And that's all there is to it. I could care, you know, many of this, many, okay, whatever. It just like, I got to use that brain ninja just to deflect it. You know what I mean? And that, and so far I've been getting better and better at it. And that's why it's not bothering me as much as it used to back, you know, 4 or 5 years ago.
Right. Well, it's also come to the point where everyone's accepted it. You know, man, this is what Manny does. This is what he does.
Right.
This is what he does. And this is Manny, and he's good at it. And you're at that point where thank God I did it now and
yeah,
not waiting until now.
Right. Right.
You know, thank God I did it back then and not waited. You know, you have to follow your heart. You know, no matter how crazy things seem, you know, it all goes back to following your heart, no matter how many people think you're crazy around you.
No, you're absolutely right. And to this, you know, back to what Gary Vee saying, you know, now's the time to do it no matter what age you're at.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It doesn't matter if you're, I stress it more like now on my kids. Now's the time to go all in. You have no bills.
They have no idea.
You have no idea. Go work for someone for free. I will help you out. As long as you put in that effort, I will help you out as much as possible. And I say that to everyone out there, even if you're 20, 30, 40 years old, do it.
Ask questions.
And you have to, and from what I've learned, again, mentioning Gary Vee a lot, but also it holds true because I've done the same thing. Volunteer your time to learn, network. Networking is the most valuable thing. Mm-hmm. It really, really is. Not just, you know, yes, you're going to learn too, but when you network, they're going to remember, they will remember you. They will, I don't give a shit. They will remember you, whether you gave an awesome impression or a bad impression. They will remember you one way or another. And of course you want to be genuine. That's the thing, being genuinely open and responsive to anything. And you're going to end up winning. You're going to, out of the blue, it comes out of nowhere. Boom. I didn't expect to sign with an agent. Just recently it just happened. I said, let me try and talk to agent instead of talking to casting directors. And it just happened right there, which, you know, I feel blessed and grateful for.
I had a guy, Peter Ishkans, on the other day, and he had a show on the Style Network called Peter Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he kind of gave up everything.
Oh, wow.
He had, if you remember the show, he had a Beverly Hills salon, and he would go to businesses that were failing. And he would fix up the businesses and make them look like million-dollar businesses and rebrand the business. You know, he wouldn't change the core of the business. He would just give the business what it really needs.
Right.
And a great brand, a great image, clean up the whole building, remodel it. You know, this is your business now. This is what you do. And he was on the Style Network. He would do fashion critiques on the red carpet with Joan Rivers and stuff. He gave it up.
Wow.
But the whole time, his whole time, even when he was doing his TV show, and even with his salon, it was his way of making people feel good about themselves.
Right. Okay.
You bring someone in frumpy, sit them in your chair, cut their hair. Wow, look at you. You're a movie star now.
Yeah.
You know, and it makes them feel good because, you know, he does hair for the stars.
Right.
And I'll go to your store. This is a shit nest. You know, I'm going to fix it up, make it beautiful. Now you have a whole new store. Look how beautiful this is. This has always been here, just waiting for you. Now you just take this seed and make it grow. And he went to India and lived there for a couple years.
India.
Okay. And just learned more on meditation and giving and his purpose in life.
Nice.
He's back now, and he's a life coach. And he was giving me some tips on stuff. And he said, and it was funny because he glazed over it as he was talking. He's saying, Well, I just changed my thought habits. I focused on this. I said yes to everything that came along, even if I didn't want to do it. I went here, I went there. I said, whoa, 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 wait a second. You just said the $1 million thing right there. You said yes to everything that came along, yeah, even the stuff you didn't want to do.
Wow.
And that was the most important thing.
Hmm.
And I've had many situations like that. You know, hey, Dan, you want to do a show? It's not going to pay as much. Or, no, I don't know. It's going to be in the city. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I'll do it. You just say yes to everything. And those wind up being the shows that something is a breakthrough that night. There's going to be a breakthrough for you in your life, for your career at that night. And it would usually be that night I'd meet someone who owns a club or has other businesses or wants more parties. You know, you say yes to everything, including the stuff you really don't want. And it's never failed me. Every show I've ever dreaded going to wound up being one of my favorite shows.
That's awesome. That's really, really cool.
And it's the same thing with you, you know, because especially unless filmmakers have no budget at all. You know, you're an independent filmmaker. And what little budget they do have, they have to make this stretch. So sometimes you are doing a part with dialogue and all this time that's going to take so much of your time, you're doing it for pizza.
Yeah, Domino's. Or no, not even Domino's, Caesars.
Yeah.
Little Caesars.
You're doing it for pizza and beer, whatever we can afford to give you guys at that time. So there's little incentive to really do anything as far as the independent films or anything. There's little incentive for any actor other than the fact that this is just what they love to do.
Yeah.
So you do it and you find you find things about your character that you fall in love with.
Totally agree. I mean, it helps a lot more when you find out who the other people are that you're doing it with.
Mm-hmm.
That you just gel right away, and then along the way, there's that one extra person that gets added, not added, but one extra person that you meet that you're like, holy cow! And then, like you said, you don't know one extra person. He might have had a smaller role, or I might have had a smaller role with that one extra person. Then a year or two down the road, which has happened.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Manny, we did this together. You remember me? Yeah, I got blah 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 going on. I'm like, all right, great, I'm in.
Yeah,
you know, and it's exactly what you said. You know, even and I guess unconsciously said yes to everything. I said yes to everything, even though, you know, I didn't look at it like even if I didn't want to do it. Now I do a little bit, only because unfortunately in every facet of life, there's the BSers out there.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to like sift through that a little bit. But for the most part, I, you know, as long as I know for the most part that I'm not wasting my time.
Right.
With, you know.
Yeah, and for the most part, you don't waste your time. I know that when I go into the studio to make a song, mm-hmm. it's not going to be on the radio. It's not going to sell. It's not going to be a platinum thing.
Right.
And I'll probably lose more money than I make.
Right.
Just making this studio, even though I do it on my own, and I own the studio and stuff, but I do it anyway because this is what I do.
Gotcha. That's
cool. But it never will be a waste of my time because even though those songs might nothing will come from that. The experience I put into that studio and the time it took to make the songs and stuff lends, Steve Jobs says, you'll see when the dots connect.
Gotcha.
Yeah, at this point, this doesn't make sense. But 3 years down the road, like right now, I'm at this radio station,
right?
And I'm able to use everything I've learned over the past 20 years in a studio to help someone else out.
That's awesome.
You know, I was doing stuff for Tony Luke. Nice. I produced a song for him. He did a remake called "Make You Feel My Love." And yeah, he did a remake for his son Anthony, who he lost to opioids.
Yeah.
So I was able to make something really nice. It was so funny because I'd gotten divorced and I'd given up my studio. I'd given up all my gear. I'd given up everything, the keyboards I had, the computers I had, the software I had. I just, you know, it was, I left the house. So it just stayed there. My son, if whatever he did with it, he sold it all. So, because I'll say, what happened to that keyboard? It was a $2,000 board. Yeah, I needed a guitar pedal. They're $300.
Right.
So it was so funny because I was getting remarried and my life was getting back together. I was getting a new life in order, and he wanted to do this song. And not only was it the song that me and my new wife Karen loved, it just out of the blue, it just happened to be that same song.
Wow.
But he said, why don't you come to my place? I got a little studio set up, makeshift studio set up, and it's nowhere compared to what he's got now, and help me do this.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the same brand keyboard that I used to have.
Wow.
The same computer setup, the same software.
That's crazy.
Where had I not, if I'd not done any of that stuff and he just sat me in this room, I wouldn't know anything. If it was a different keyboard, I wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah.
I'd take 3 days just to learn the learning curve of the keyboard. If it was a different software, I'd have to take the time for it. Yeah. But it was as if, okay, everything I'm doing right now will pay off for me 3 years down the road. I don't see it yet.
Right.
But it will. You do those little movies, whatever comes of it, comes of it. But when someone sees your IMDb and they see your list of credentials and all those movies add up, Michael Caine said something about that. He was asked, like, why do I do all these little films?
Right.
And he said, I do them all because it just hones my craft. It makes me great for these larger films that I do. And I can't paraphrase it perfectly, but it was his Oscar speech when he actually won the Oscar.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he's like, how all those little things mattered, all those little movies mattered. So you never really waste your time. But what you said earlier, you can cut through the bullshit now.
Right.
Like you're at a point where you don't have to say yes at everything.
Correct.
And you can say yes at the things that really do matter.
Right. And then there's one that sticks out. And it's only a few people, but one that sticks out. I'm not going to mention names. I'm not going to badmouth him, but he's had the same project for 6 years and he's been making promise after promise after promise. And those are the type of instances what I'm talking about, like cut through the bullshit a little bit. But for the most part, I couldn't agree more with what you had mentioned about Michael Caine. It keeps your tools sharp. I mean, there's no other way of, you could do monologues all day long. You could sing by yourself all day long and play. But when you're interacting or you know, acting with somebody else and the dialogue back and forth, the volleying, the dialogue and the emotion and all that, you know, reacting off of their actions, that's where you got to keep on doing it. And I try to do that as much as possible. Unfortunately, now, I mean, that's partly the reason why I'm doing my podcast. You know what I mean? I have someone live, I have them on video and we talk and I just like, you know, let's talk about the song. Why does it mean to you that much? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then we just go back and forth. What's your go-to song?
Mine?
Yeah.
You know what's funny? I can come to a point where I hate music.
No way.
Yeah. Like if I'm in a car, very rare does music play.
Right.
You know, when I do a show, I sing for 4 hours nonstop, no break, no nothing, just nonstop.
I got you.
And before the show, I love talk radio. I love podcasts, and that's why I love doing this. I love audiobooks.
Nice.
And sometimes I just can't wait to finish the damn show so I can go back in the car and listen to the rest of the audiobook, especially if it's good.
Right.
But I do have songs, you know. There's Bon Jovi did his solo album. He did the Young Guns 2 soundtrack.
Right. Great songs.
And that's one of his best albums in the history of Bon Jovi. And it's a solo album. The songs are just really amazing.
Blaze of Glory's on there, right?
From Blaze of Glory to Miracle. He's got a song called Santa Fe.
Yeah.
That is just a killer song. And that's probably one of my go-to songs. When I'm ready to rebuild myself after a long funk, I'll put that song in.
Nice.
And that's just, it's just not a, it's not a rocking song. It's just a powerful song.
Right.
And it's just one of those songs from such an unlikely source
for me.
And because I'm a Beatlehead, I love classic rock. I love hard rock. I love, you know, like Chicago and stuff, Eagles. But Santa Fe just does something to me that that just.
Is there a specific hook in there or like? Is,
so I
like
save some... a prayer when I need it most to the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost and sign it from a sinner with no name. When I meet my maker, will he close the book on the hearts I broke and the lives I took? Will he walk away because my soul's too late to save?
Dude, that's fucking awesome. Now, I love it.
Now I ain't getting into heaven. Tell the devil he can wait. I'm riding somewhere south of heaven, heading back to Santa Fe.
Holy shit.
It's a powerful
song. I got goosebumps, man.
I love this song.
That is awesome.
And it's scored. He was able to do it for the film, so he was able to have, I think it's Howard Shore, the film conductor, the film composer, score some strings underneath, and it's just heavy drums. It's just a good song. It's just That's a powerful cool. Powerful song. And he just was, if you listen to the album from front to back, he was in such a zone.
Yeah.
That it was just one of those periods where the gods are upon you for that moment. Okay. You know, everything, all your focusing has come to this, culminated to this moment. You're out of your band. You've achieved all this in your life. All you have to do is just focus on your craft right now. And whatever's coming from his spiritual sources and the universe all culminated into this and gave him this epic. And I think it's underrated because it's not a Bon Jovi thing. It's a John Bon Jovi. It's a film soundtrack album.
Right.
You know, so, but it's a powerful album. It's his Hotel California. It's his Sgt. Pepper, you know, as much as Slippery When Wet was the band's full success, you know, in New Jersey to follow that. It's him, and it was just his words, his lyrics. It's just a great album. I don't think anything before it, after it, that he's done.
That's really cool, man.
Yeah, because it's not a poppy. He's not out there to make hits for the 16-year-old girls to buy at that moment.
Right. He did it from the heart.
He did it solely from the heart.
Did it from the heart.
And every song from it's gonna, you know, Miracle. To Blaze of Glory.
I got to tell you, Blaze of Glory is like my theme song.
Oh, you know come I mean? On. I mean, you got to think from my perspective, though.
Right.
You know, I played the clubs that he played.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're danky New Jersey clubs. They smell like Lysol when you get in there and you're sharing them with other bands for that night. And they're dark and dingy. And it's one of those things where where's my gear? Oh, I got to get my stand. It's still in the truck. And you open the door and the sunlight blinds you. You know, and you go back into this dark abyss and it's dismal. And then you see him on top of a friggin' mountain singing Blaze of Glory.
Yep.
I'm like, I can do this. I'm playing the same danky clubs he's doing, and he's on top of a mountain in Utah. I want to do this.
That's cool.
You know, screw the stadiums and stuff. I want to be out there with lightning striking all over the place. The video. And that's where I'm coming from. You know, a New Jersey boy who just played in these dive bars singing on top of a mountain. You know, and the song is so great. And Santa Fe is probably just as strong as that one.
All right, I'm going to take another listen to it. I mean, with the hook that you shared with me is like, wow.
Oh my God. He was on fire when he wrote that. And
there's just certain
songs and certain artists when they just get in that zone. I think, Appetite for Destruction is great, but Use Your Illusion 1 and 2, you know, from Guns N' Roses, where you have Estranged and November Rain, and
you
listen to something like that, where the artist can be more of the artist.
Yep.
You know, Appetite's great, Sweet Child's great, Paradise City, that's great. They're still listening to A&R guys. You know, they're still, well, can you make this a little edgier? Can you make this a little softer? Can you make this a little more radio friendly?
Right.
And Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 is just, we're going to be Guns N' Roses. This is what we do. It might not be what Slash wants. It's a little more what Axl wants or something. But, you know, you can see that creative process going in there. And it's very evident when it happens, whether it's a product, you know, like the iPhone or something, or whether it's a film,
mm-hmm.
or whether it's a piece of music, you know, Titanic.
Right.
You could love it or hate it. I loved it. And the mere fact that the entire planet was affected by this film.
Yeah, you're right.
Everything. You know, James Cameron, he had Terminator, Aliens, True Lies. He's got great, great movies.
Yep.
But then this one, where it just seemed like the gods were on top of him, pushing him through this. You know, what are we going to do for a set? What kind of models are we going to use for the underground Titanic? No, we're going down to the Titanic and we're going to film.
Crazy.
And he goes down there with the camera crews and stuff. You know, we're on the Titanic.
Wow.
And everything just worked out, and to the point where it just becomes such, it's a labor of love.
Without a doubt.
There you go. Anything that is a true labor of love. You know, sometimes it doesn't get the recognition it deserves,
it
but
should,
when you
right?
listen to it, you
see it, right?
It was channeled. Whatever happened, like when you listen to your song or I listen to Santa Fe, I know that at that moment it was a labor of love. Mm-hmm. He stressed on it. He worked on it. The gods were shining on him, and it was as if they sent a message to him to send to me, you know, through that song.
Yeah.
Would be my connection to what he was feeling too. It's like the gods are like, here, share a message, and whoever it's going to hit is going to get the power that we're sending you through this song.
That's awesome.
And that's what you get when you listen to those songs. You know, that artist, whatever sparked them to write that song, that particular lyric at that moment, that just drives you. And that's what happens, where everything just seems to come together and everyone just loves it. Titanic was a labor of love for Cameron, and he pushed people.
Right.
Even when he won all these Academy Awards, every person was up there saying, I'd like to thank Jim Cameron for pushing me in ways I never thought it could be possible.
That's really cool.
You know, but you need that drive.
Without a doubt. You definitely need that drive.
You know, in the real world, he's just being a dick.
Right.
No one would really take that kind of shit abuse.
Right.
And they're like, thank you. But you need sometimes a drill sergeant to bring the best out of you.
You're absolutely right.
Same with Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
I always thought if Steve Jobs was in charge of the medical industry, would we still have cancer?
You got a good point there. You got a real good point there. What if? Yep. That's interesting.
You know, and it takes people driving like that who just, you can get this thing done by Tuesday? Oh, that's amazing. This is something we've never done before? That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Unacceptable. Friday morning. I need it tomorrow.
Right.
And that's when inspiration sparks.
Yeah.
You know, you write and you're working on the project yourself.
I have a few projects. One of them actually was inspired by you, kind of. Well, no, it wasn't by the 13th child.
Okay.
And based on the Jersey Devil, I added some things to it. So I'm still hoping to get that done once I have the resources for it.
Now, how far along are you?
Do you
have a script or anything?
I have a script, yeah. I have a script. I posted quite a few times about the character descriptions and the storyline and all that stuff.
I've seen that.
So we're trying to, trying to, again, more of gathering resources to get it to life. I do have a, how could I say this? She's an A-lister. She would definitely be a part of it. Again, getting the resources.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to say any names yet.
But not at all.
It's,
but I'm just going back to everything else, you know, that I was saying. You know, it's a labor of love, and give yourself a deadline.
Yeah.
Because with that kind of pressure, especially when you're writing a script,
right.
Give yourself a deadline as if you are working for Steve Jobs or James Cameron. You know, this is a great story. Okay, this should take about a week to do. I'll have to finish it in 2 days. And give yourself that kind of pressure where you got to mentally think your life is on the line now. Your job is on the line.
Right.
You got other shit to do once this is done. So you got to get this done. And it's that kind of pressure that makes people wake up in the middle of the night. I got it. You know, and for some reason, it's odds are you're in the shower.
Right.
You're in the shower where there's nowhere to write. There's nothing. And that's when you get the idea because you can't go any further. You get writer's block. You get this. You get that. But you're on a deadline. You have to get it done. But you're at a stalemate.
Yep.
And it's when you're working that hard, it's like your head is just a snow globe. So you shake everything up.
Right.
And then it takes those moments when you're in the shower just focusing on nothing, or you're in bed just about that REM state where all the snow settles.
Yep.
And you see the image in the center of the snow globe.
That's
clear.
What it was, yeah.
That's my idea. That's what I needed. That was my solution.
I get that a lot driving.
Yeah.
I get that a lot driving. It really does. Matter of fact, on the way here, got
that a lot driving. Do you?
Because I'm working on a short, I'm actually starting, I'm going to be filming a short film in a couple of weeks with my fellow classmates, dear friends of mine, the Actors Co-op out of Swarthmore. I believe in them so much that they do not need a script. I'm going to give them the scene description, their character description. Everything is improv.
I like that, though.
Everything is improv. You know, this is exactly what happened. How are you going to react?
Right.
And I am going to be in their face. And they already know me, that I'm in their face a lot. So, but in a good way. And they're all about it. And it's going to be really, really cool. I can't wait.
What's your goal? Like, where's Manning 5 years from now?
I'm going to say, I don't want to sound arrogant, but I'm going to say sooner than that. Giving myself a timeline, you know what I mean? A deadline. But my goal is to be full time in front or behind the camera. In front or behind the camera, one of the two, or both.
Mm.
Or both. I wouldn't mind both.
I love production.
You know what? It's a pain in the balls. But once everything comes together and I just started learning to edit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, it's so much fun. So much fun. You're like, yeah. Because, I mean, you've seen it too. I'm sure you've experienced too, where you're through the camera, you're like, holy shit, what the? You know, you might be thinking to yourself, no. But then when you start cutting things out and then piecing things together, it's like you're given like 10,000 pieces of a puzzle, but only 1,000 of them work,
mm-hmm.
put together. And that's what, just creating that as you go along, like you share your story and it's like, wow, this is really, really stinking cool. You know what I mean? So that does it for me.
Here's a bit of advice. It's probably the best advice I've ever gotten especially when it comes to post-production.
Yeah.
Do what's best for the film.
Oh, I always do.
Because there's going to be those scenes that this is the reason I wanted to do the movie, but it's really not fitting in this film. I got to cut this out.
I had
and you could have put everything. Just there was one editor, one director, an editor was talking. He said he was next to a director, and they cut this scene out. And he's like, "This was the scene that made me want to do the movie."
After he cut it out?
No,
the scene that he cut out.
The scene that he cut out was the scene that he made him want to do this movie because he wanted to do this scene, but it just did not work in the film.
Right.
It didn't pace well.
Right.
There was a million reasons. And what was best for the film in the end?
Yep.
And you cut it out.
No, I totally agree. I shot a...
You got to be willing to let that go.
No, I do. I've actually heard that advice before. I shot a film a year and a half ago called Tenfold. great line of local actors, had fun all day shooting, 16 hours. It was going to be like an 8-minute short. The best I got out of it, because nothing else fit, was a 30-second trailer.
Right.
So, I mean, it is what it is. I'm not going to put out stuff that doesn't fit, like mm-hmm. you'd said. I mean, that's awesome advice, and I advise that for everybody else. If it doesn't fit, don't. It's for the film project. It's not for you. It's not for the other actor. It's not for the other producer. It's for the project, the collective. And I got flack. I got a lot of flack. And I told them, I'm not putting out crap. End of story. I'm not. That's not my story of crap. I don't want to put out crap. So I lost off a couple of friends. No big deal.
That's all right. Cause
but I gained new ones, though.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's what's best for the film. It's artistic differences. And you do wind up making the film, even if it's a documentary, you make it three times. You're making the film as you write it. You're making the film as you film it. Mm-hmm. And then you're still writing the film as you're editing.
Yep.
And there's so many things. I can film a sequence of you running up a fire escape being chased by three guys. And I can shoot every angle. I can have so much coverage on it. It would be ridiculous. And then have you coming up to the very top of the roof, shutting the door behind you mm-hmm. with your heart pounding. And it just might not work. Like, what might work better is me just cutting all that out, and just a shot of you coming out on the roof with the door shut,
yep.
with the sound of all these feet coming yep. up the stairs,
yep.
and that might be better. You know, if you're gonna try to do something, because what happens is when you're writing the script, you're writing it from your heart, from your mind. You're writing the story.
Yep.
Now, how are you going to film this? That's a whole nother practical thing that you have to work around.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing something, and now here comes the Air Force, or this happens, and then you have to start thinking, well, do I need all this exposition? Can I just use it as a piece of dialogue?
Right. All right.
Where we just cut to you all mangled up, home, showing up at home, and your wife is looking at you, like, what the hell happened? And he's like, I was running up the fire escape, and put it all there.
Yep.
And sometimes that works better. It's not showing the monster. It's making people create it's all suggestive and making them create
yep.
the scenario. Oh my God, they must have had him hanging by his ankles on the roof or something. You could only imagine what happened.
Right.
It's like the YouTube video with the two kids, and they're both covered in paint.
Right.
And I don't know if you've ever seen it, but no. The father is just looking, he's filming them.
Yes, 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 I did see it.
And it's like, who did this? Yep, and they're just staring there, paint covered with paint.
Yep, yep, yep.
Yeah, their hair is a mess, and what's more funny is just thinking, what the hell could they have done?
Yeah, yeah,
I don't want to see it happening. I just, because I can't.
Right.
You know, don't show me. I want a picture in my own mind. Yep. What could have possibly happened to me to make this? And what do you prefer more? Do you like writing? Do you like production? Do you like all aspects of it?
I like all aspects, but I'm going to lean more towards being in front of the camera, reacting off someone's action. How would Manny Mertis react to this? And a lot of people know me how I am, but I have a very I try to go outside of the box as much as possible that would fit inside mm-hmm. of that scene of a box or boxes or whatever you want to call
it. Do you try different scenarios with each take, or do you try to just perfect the one take and hone it with each take?
I like when we do table reads, that's when I get a good feel of the other character. How am I going to challenge that person to challenge me? And I'll just write little notes down. You're a sissy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would do this better, but I'm going to draw it out of them. So what I do, I'll like over and over in my head, just repetitive until it comes second nature. And then when I see him again, when I'm in character, they're going to see me with my eyes bulged out of my head. And they're like, yo dude, chill out. We're just a table read. I'm, nah, no table read, motherfucker. I hate you.
Mm-hmm.
You did something really bad to my, like, that's where I get to when I flip that switch, when it comes to the table read, and then it starts becoming more organic for me, at least, when we get in front of the camera. So I like challenging the other actors that I'm familiar with. They like challenge. They know how we bring something. It looks more, not looks. I'm sorry. It becomes, you feel it more when we're doing a scene, you know, whether it's emotional, whether we're mad at each other, laughing, whatever. I really get personal. I get personal. I make people feel uncomfortable, and they make me feel uncomfortable too. But then that's where the magic happens,
right?
For me, you know what I mean. So, right. But I lean more towards being in front of the camera. It's fun, being that other character and get away with it. You know what I mean.
You say you're going to be doing something soon. When do you see everything opening up again?
Well, they started the. I'm going to be shooting in Pennsylvania within a couple of weeks. They're going to open up the gates a little more, I guess, as far as what's that called? Getting together,
right,
type of deal. I just heard actually on the way here, I believe June 14th, they're doing like a soft opening, I guess, with all the restaurants and stuff in Jersey. But as far as acting wise, I emailed my agent the other day, asked her, she's like, just hold on. She says she has given me a couple auditions, voiceover stuff for Nickelodeon. Was pretty fun.
That's cool.
That was really, really fun. I was over the top gym coach and all that stuff for a comedy. That was fun.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was really, really cool. The other one was for,
what was the project? Do you know?
It's a pilot, Nickelodeon cartoon where, I guess I'm allowed to speak to her. She didn't speak about it. Remember the movie Click with Adam Sandler?
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere along the lines of that, but with two kids that have that power.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they try to keep it a secret. And I was, Coach Biff, and you got to do this right now. And you know you could do so many burpees because I am rooting for you in your corner. You know, just going over the top and having fun. So that was pretty cool. A few cop shows for NCIS, Criminal Minds and all that stuff. I could be saying that wrong, but I had a few video auditions and all that stuff. So at least she's keeping me busy. Not a whole bunch.
When you're doing a video audition, what are you actually doing? Are you filming it from your house? Do you go to the agency to film something?
I film it from my house. Mm-hmm. I film it. And because a lot of times they specifically say we do not want to see professional. I don't know why they don't want to see like a professional setup. They just want to see it like from your phone, or, you know, I have a camera and I just put it on a stand. And
I guess to them, you know, it's one way of just saying, look, don't kill yourself. You know,
right.
Not many actors are making money and stuff. You don't need to hire $1 million productions and, you know, a $2,000 photographer to do this for you. It would be akin to me hearing a demo of a song. Just get the guitar and play it. Let me hear the song.
Right.
If it's good, it'll stand on its own.
Right.
You know, because if it sounds that good with just you and a piano or you and a guitar, then with a production behind you,
couldn't even imagine. Right.
Exactly. So I could see it from that perspective.
The only thing that was hard, a couple of the auditions, they wanted the reader with you during this time. I'm like, how the hell am I going to do this? And I just went back to Zoom. I just got a reader on Zoom and recorded it and I sent it that way.
That's cool.
So now, like you said, it's a game changer. Definitely cool. Helped out big time.
It does. It does. It's funny. If you ever see the auditions for Star Wars.
Yeah.
They're very cool.
I got to check them out.
Because they're just on a couch. And since Harrison Ford had done American Graffiti with George Lucas, George Lucas had him come to do some repairs because he was a carpenter.
No way.
So it's like, while you're there, I need someone to read. Because I'm auditioning actors.
Right.
So I'm auditioning, you know, Luke Skywalker. I'm auditioning, you know, Princess Leia. So, and it's funny because he's sitting there doing readings. And Cindy Williams, Shirley from Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah.
She's there.
Right.
She's on the couch reading all this dialogue from Star Wars. And then Mark Hamill and then Kurt Russell.
No way.
Is doing stuff. Yeah, it's really cool to watch these. And they're just sitting in a they're just sitting on a couch. And it got to the point where Harrison Ford was doing so good reading for, you know, just being the reader.
Yeah.
look, I got something for you. Okay, I'll find That's a part cool. for you.
That is so cool. That is really, really cool. I never knew that.
Yeah.
I want to definitely look into that.
And
look at that.
It just went from there.
Yeah, because his character is, like, I think is the best.
Yeah.
He's funny. Harrison Ford.
Yeah. And only he could have done that.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, the whole, you know, we're all fine here. I'm fine. How are you? After they shoot up everything. He just had the looks. He just had this movie star thing about him, but it was those little things. Now,
unintentionally auditioning.
Yeah. Yep. Now, he probably still had his tool belt and stuff, everything in the car.
That's crazy.
Hey, can you stay a little bit? I don't want my car to get jacked and stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Say yes to everything.
Yep. Yep.
You know, and don't be afraid to ask for anything. Hmm. You know, I think the best story in your business is Stallone's.
Yeah, that's
on crazy. So many levels.
Yeah. Yep, no, you're right.
He auditioned right. for a part. Mm-hmm. That was it. He auditioned for a part, and they said, nope, thank you, and walked out. He could have just walked out, and that was it. But just before he left the door, he said, I write, too.
I said, I didn't know this. Wow.
It's one of the old Barbara Walters specials that he did back in the 80s.
So on his way out, he blurred out, I write too. Right. Wow.
What do you write? Well, I got this story about the boxer and from there. So like right there.
That's really cool.
He could have just walked out.
Yeah, just, you know, onto the next
one.
But
he just didn't give up. Okay, you know, I'm getting punched. I'll take some hits, but you know, I write too. You know, he was able to just give one more out there and that was it. That did it. What do you do? Now, the movie's in place. The writing's in place. We got a director. We got a film. Ryan O'Neal would be the perfect Rocky.
This part I know, yeah.
You know, so it's like, not only did he open his mouth when the time was right, but he stood his ground.
Yep. I was going to say that. Yep.
When the time was right. And this could have been an audition that he, you know,
just said,
how many parts were there really for someone like Stallone? None.
Right, right.
You know, unless you're constantly going to be the heavy in all these parts. So it's like, oh, you know, Sly, get up. I got, you know, another role. It's like another heavy role. I know I'm not going to be the leading man in this.
Right, all right.
So he could have turned down the audition from the get-go.
That's crazy, man.
But he said yes to everything. So he said yes to whatever two-bit little audition he was going to get.
Right.
Got turned down for it and just happened to open his mouth.
Never knew that.
And awesome. Said, I write a bit. And that was it. And that's the kind of stuff. Never be afraid to ask or open your mouth. And you know when those moments are coming. Whether you're seeing something unjust or whether you're seeing something, you have an opportunity to say something and it eats you. Oh, I should have spoke my mind right there.
Yeah, because if you don't ask, the answer is always going to be no.
Exactly. Aunt Clara said something the other day and I could have put her in her place and I wish I did. I wish I did.
Right, right.
Well,
right.
You should have.
Yep.
You know, when you have those moments to speak your mind and the filter police aren't there right now to tell you in your head, not a good idea.
Right, right, right.
Do That's it. Awesome. Speak your mind. Because, yeah, like you said, if you know, you're going to miss 100% of the shots you don't take. If you don't ask, it's always no.
It's always no.
Yeah. And I have a list of people that I want to interview.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd go down that list, and I accept rejection so well anymore. And I'm expecting rejection, so okay. Yes or no? No? Good. I can move on now.
Right.
Go to the next guest. Go to the next.
Yeah. Every no gets closer to the yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? For others.
And I'm getting the people that I wanted to talk to.
That's really cool.
And I think it's blowing my own mind. You know, Tommy Chong, man.
That was awesome.
I had him for an hour.
That's great.
I had him for an hour. I was really nice and cordial. I'm thinking I'm going to get 5 minutes with him. That'd be fine.
Right, right.
You know, 10, I'll push it.
Right, right.
An hour.
That's great.
It was about an hour and 14 minutes with Tommy Chong.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
to the point where you're running out of questions. I have nothing. I didn't think it'd get this far. I just wanted to talk about Basketball Jones, man.
Yeah.
Sister Mary Elephant. But he was so gracious, and everything I could ever think to ask him, I asked him. You know, why are you, from the part, like, why are you so gracious? That one question opened up a can of worms.
That's really
cool. I said, thank you so much for doing this. You know, why are you so gracious? And we were about to go off the air. I was about to shut the show off. He said, well, I grew up poor, man. And then he goes into his whole backstory, what it was like to be poor.
Wow.
And how he takes nothing for granted. And then my guest after that was an astronaut. And nice. I guess Story Musgrave. You know, of the four cool guests I'll get, there's 80 that I tried to get.
Right.
You know.
Right.
None of the Bradys are responding to any of my calls. And I just keep trying.
Right.
You just don't give up.
Yeah, and you can't, especially in his business.
I'm like, well, if I can't get, you know, I can't get this guy. I can't get Lee Majors. Why would Story Musgrave, the astronaut,
come on,
be feasible?
Right.
And that's logical, and you can say that and live like that. But Story Musgrave is not Lee Majors.
You're absolutely right.
So just keep doing it. Fine. Let's give it a shot. What have you got to lose? Go to the next one. And then he says yes.
That's really
so
cool.
Now,
that's awesome.
What do I do? I just saw him in an interview once. I thought he was cool to talk to.
Right.
Now I got to figure out, what am I going to ask him? What does he do?
Right.
He was in space.
Right.
And then I learned about the guy, and he's flown on every shuttle mission, and he's been on this and this, and they put the Hubble in space, and the pictures came back, and they were fuzzy. So how do we fix the Hubble?
Right.
Well, we got to put new mirrors in there now. How do we do that? I don't know. Some guy's got to walk out of the shuttle and do it. Who's going to do that? Story Musgrave.
No shit.
So he's out there by himself. You know, I put on my the little image I made for him for the show.
That's cool.
I put all the pictures of him. You know, him and as an astronaut, him commanding the shuttle, him looking out the window of the space station, him out in space working on the Hubble. You know, and it's like, what did I do in the past 3 years? And he's 85.
Right. God bless.
And here's another thing. We talked about the COVID and the quarantine. I was kind of looking for a little empathy. I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm out of work. I'm not even getting unemployment. The state's just screwing me over.
Right.
And I don't know if I'll be back to work. He's like,
what do you say?
He said, my career is pretty much over and done now. You know, so I'm really excited to reinvent myself.
Wow.
He's cut from a different cloth, this guy.
Wow.
He's cut from a different cloth. He's like, so, you know, I've been doing some poetry. I've been writing, been getting closer with nature, working on my backyard. And I'm just really getting excited about reinventing myself.
Wow.
You know, I'm 85. I'm getting excited.
Exactly. Wow.
You know, little story, his son, who's 14.
What? When he was 14 or who is 14?
He is 14.
You mean right now he's 14?
He's 14 right now. I'm actually, the guy is mind-blowing. He's actually mind-blowing. I posted his response.
Quick question.
On my page.
Is he adopted, 14?
No, he's got two kids, actually.
And he's 85.
He's 85.
God bless him.
He's an astronaut. I asked him, well, he called out of the blue. He's like, just hit record. Let's do this. I'm like, I'm not even at the station yet.
Yeah.
So he called out of the blue. He says, well, I got some time before my daughter. She's 14. She's going to be, me and her, I have her for the weekend. We're going to be doing some stuff. I asked him during the show, I said, what is a day in your life like?
Right.
Like, do you get up very regimen, like 4 or 5 a.m.? He's like, I don't go to bed until 4 or 5 a.m.
Wow.
Ask me what I did last night. What you do last night? He said, well, Me and my daughter were looking outside and thought it'd be a nice day for a run. So it's 2 a.m. We're taking a run.
God bless him. He's cut from
here's. I wrote him this an email saying, you know, I lost everything, man. I'm just trying to get back and everything going, find a business or
right
do something. He said, you ain't the only one. We're just doing great here. Little story, now 13 is on a long spring break lasting at least into summer. We're doing piles of new things and having a blast. My company, Applied Minds, is working from home, but the contributions that I create cannot be done. My professorships are suspended. The Kennedy Space Center is closed, and my work, speaking events, and consultations are canceled or rescheduled. My current professional life is gone, totally evaporated. I'm enjoying the break, working, but my spirits are high. He's cut from a different cloth, that's this guy. He's, and then he was helping me try to find a girl named Barbara Morgan, who's okay. Another astronaut that I'd love to get.
Okay.
She is a teacher now in, I think it's Ohio. I've been in contact with her since.
Oh, good.
She was the backup for Krista McAuliffe. So when the Challenger exploded,
ooh,
she was the backup team.
Wow. Wow.
She was the backup teacher. So if Krista McAuliffe was sick or something, she'd have to be the one that was gonna be on the shuttle.
Wow.
Yeah. But these are the people I love to meet. And the fact that you're doing it through your show, you know, who are some of your dream guests?
My dream guests, honestly, I haven't really thought about that. Like, as far as a dream guest, I just want to get everyone's perspective. You know what I mean? Like, you know, have as many, like every week, regardless of where I'm going to be at 3 years from now, every week I want to pump out a new show with just people that I'm friends on Facebook. Like, mm-hmm. for, you know, just going to put it out there. Hey, I need some guests. Who wants to be on? Let's talk about your go-to song. I'm going to bullshit for about 15 minutes and just... You know, I want to know why. You know what I mean?
Go for some of the other people. Go for some bigger people. You know who I got right now?
Who do you got?
Damon Wilson. Lamont from Sanford and Son.
Oh, no shit. That's awesome.
And he's become a preacher and a black activist. And
okay.
And he wrote this book of... Trying to explain it, but using like the secret societies, the Illuminatis, the Masons and stuff, and how they conspired in a way to keep the black race down and to keep black people down.
Okay.
I don't believe in race. I believe in human race, but the black community, to keep them down and through their symbols and through slave ships and stuff. And I just found him to be such an interesting guy. Like, first of all, it's been 40 years. What the hell happened to you? Are you okay? How are you?
Right.
And getting through to him, I had to go through his press agent, mm-hmm. who's named Grady Wilson.
Grady. Yeah. Grady.
Exactly. Yeah. But
right.
And but I think that it's a relative or something, because I think his mother or grandmother or something was actually named Grady Wilson.
No kidding.
Like, okay. I think Red Fox's real name is Fred Sanford.
I thought it was Red Fox. Well, his real name, right.
You know, Red Fox was the character he made because...
I always knew him as Red Fox, even...
Yeah, but that was never his real name.
No shit.
Yeah. Wow. And that's, I don't funny. Know if his father was Fred G. Sanford or if he was G. Sanford.
Yeah.
And
makes sense.
Red Fox was... he had the kind of skin... When you there are certain black people that have like a red pigment and freckles,
yeah,
and stuff, and he had that kind of shade about him, right. And it was that tone,
right?
And they called him the Red Fox.
That's cool. That's how he got his
name. And then he created this stand-up act,
right?
And he had two X's at the end of Fox because that's the ratings of his show.
That's awesome. I never knew that.
Red Fox, and he grew up and then went to, like, did the vaudeville circuits or the Chitlin circuits and stuff. Uh-huh. And all the people, LaWanda Page, she was another comedian.
Mm-hmm.
and this guy, he's another comedian, or this guy's a drummer in a band, and this. So when he got Sanford and Son,
right,
he got LaWanda Page, said, "You're going to be Aunt Esther, and you're going to be great, and you're going to be awesome. Bubba," and he took everybody.
That's really
and
cool.
embraced them. So I think he may have arranged the names according to like family members and stuff.
Makes sense now, yeah.
You know, I never asked, but it was so silly to see Grady Wilson responding to my things. Because that's Grady from Sanford.
Right.
Whitman Mayo, the actor.
Right.
But they said, she said, you know, he doesn't want to do interviews right now because of the times and what's going on. And, you know, there's some of the stuff that he wants to talk about in his book is controversial and delves into right. conspiracies.
Right.
I'm like, well, I'm all about conspiracies and UFOs and secret societies and stuff. So I pushed and pushed, and she wrote me back, said, "He'll talk to you, but you got to buy his book first."
Oh.
And so, you know, so you guys can understand where he's coming from.
Right. That's cool.
So I said, okay, I'll buy the book.
Right.
He wrote me this little letter.
No shit. That's awesome.
He wrote me this little letter, signed the book.
That's really cool.
And even if I can't get him as a guest.
Right.
You know, I made a friend.
You made a connection. Yeah,
I made a connection
with
him.
Great connection, yeah.
Because I just pushed.
And I mean great connection.
Yeah.
Like a good dude. Like that type of, you know what I mean? That's awesome.
Yeah, with everything gets good. There's riots and stuff going on out there. I think, you know, what would it be like to just have him come and do an open forum like a summit?
Yeah, why not?
Or something, and have him come and talk. Yeah. You know, call up, talk to me, you know, let's share thoughts. What are you thinking? What am I thinking? What can we do? What can we do together? Maybe this starts just with me. It's going to start just with me being, you know, just even more loving than I've ever been. You know, it's going to start with you being more loving. And now, if we do that, you know, share it with our friends.
That's all we could do. And
yeah.
I think the more sharing we do that, I think that'll definitely help.
But I'm always thinking of guests to have.
Okay.
And I'm always trying for more guests. I'm trying to keep it music-oriented.
Gotcha.
But I want to talk about things I want to talk about and keep it on the topic that I want to talk about.
Right.
You know, this guy's into UFOs. I love UFOs. Let's talk about
that. I know. I remember.
Let's have him on. You know, you're acting. You're doing films. You're doing podcasts. I love that. It's entertainment.
Yep.
And then that's what we are. We're entertainers. It's our job to create distractions.
That's a good way to put it. No, it's the end of the day. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, whatever facet of entertainment, it is a distraction from whatever, you know, work or, you know, stuff like that. So that's really, really cool. But on my end, I like to get, and I dig what you're getting. You want to talk to people that you want to talk about, that you have your interest in, that you love for and all that. I like getting people's, like, I just like listening. Why does this song mean this to you? Tell me what happened. And they tell their story in a few minutes. And I'm like, wow. Like I might, you know, poke them a little bit just to see, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm not disrespectful at all whatsoever. I mean, I could be, but I'm not. But that's the difference that we have, which is cool. Which is really, really cool. I don't know the astronaut's name?
Story Musgrave.
Story Musgrave. And he's got a 14-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
How old's the mother?
I don't know.
I got to Google.
I don't know. I don't know if he's still married, if he's divorced. I don't know the situation there. You know,
and it's not a typo, granddaughter, it's daughter?
It's his daughter. Yeah, he's got a son, he's got a daughter.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but he feels young. I mean, the guy is fit. I would be running at 2 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't run.
Yeah, I mean, you even said it yourself. He's cut from a different cloth.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I used to have a thing called the Final Five that I would ask guests when I did the web show.
Right.
And because I wanted to know if their answers were the same as mine. Because I had a reason, you know, I'd ask, do you get mad or do you get even? Because I want to get mad, get even, and take names and just leave blood. Yeah. Do you What's the greatest thing you've learned outside of school? Because school taught me nothing.
Right, you know, right, right.
What's your greatest acquisition? What's a day in the life for you?
Oh, those are deep questions, man.
And then
great questions.
And I forget what the last one was. So I just asked him, what do you get mad or you get even?
What'd he say?
And there's a long pause.
He's like, oh boy.
Neither.
What the fuck?
To get mad is to give the energy to this person. He gives you the scientific reason of why he doesn't get mad or get even. I can't focus on that. I need to worry about the task at hand.
Love it.
I ask him, what the hell scares you?
Right.
You know, I'm claustrophobic. Something snapped in me at Disney once that made me so claustrophobic again that I used to be able to do the rides and the coasters and stuff. Mm-hmm. But something just snapped in me once, and I can't do them anymore because I'm claustrophobic. Put those bars down on me, I'm claustrophobic.
Right.
And you're going to put me in a suit that I can't move in, put me in a seat with bars on, and launch me into space?
Uh-uh. Right.
Get me on a plane. Good luck getting me on a plane.
Wow.
This guy went to space several times.
Did he say what he's scared of?
He doesn't think that way.
Wow.
Because they keep you busy from the time you're in that chair.
Wow.
So when you're in that chair, they're about to light that firecracker underneath your ass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, we're going to work on the checklist of single engine A and B. And they're doing something the whole time. And then during the launch, everything's nominal. We're checking here. We're checking there. And the simulations that they put you through. Mm-hmm. It's all visualization. It's all constant repetition so that you're doing it in your sleep. You know when these shakes are coming. You know when this is happening. You know how to fix this.
Should this happen.
If this breaks, right. You know everything, and they put you in scenarios. That's why it takes so long. It might take shorter to actually prepare the thing for launch and just long just to prepare the astronauts for launch. And especially for the Hubble, because that had to be repaired. Mm-hmm. And if that was screwed up, then that was like a $80 billion failure on NASA.
Wow.
So he had to figure out, well, how are we going to do it? And he was in charge of fixing the Hubble.
Wow.
And, well, we can't take the mirror out because it's like this big.
Right.
So can we use like maybe several little mirrors to compensate the blur?
Right,
and
right.
Put this one here, put that one there, put that one there. So, and that's what they did.
So he had no time to shit his pants.
No.
Wow. Wow.
No. He was a test pilot. His thing was he solved problems. And that's what gets him high. Wow. That's what he gets off on, just solving problems. I'll use my engineering background and do this and do this and... You know, when you connect the dots for him, he's the perfect choice because he just knows how to tinker with things and put things together.
Yep. With no time to shit his pants.
No.
That's crazy. Great.
No.
Great and crazy.
Yeah. And it's funny. I learned before Trump went nuts, I used to get his books. I used to read his books. He had a lot of good advice for stuff. And I had one of his books, and in it, when he was still doing the TV shows and stuff, right. He put a chapter in on a day in his life.
Oh, wow.
And I thought it was the most coolest thing that I thought everybody should be putting this in. What time do you get up? What do you do there? What do you do during your day? What's your day like here? What do you do here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and at this point, he was a billionaire. He was doing this and doing that. What makes you tick? This man doesn't sleep. He'll sleep for 4 hours and stuff and then get right back up.
Wow.
You know, it made me want to ask more people. You know, what makes you tick? When do you wake up in the morning? Manny, what is a day in your life? When you are on, what's a day in your life? You know, how? Because I needed to know how to balance.
I got you. Yeah.
you know, you listen to Gary V, I get up, I hustle, I go to bed.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, but that's what makes him happy.
Right.
But that being said, when the weekends come or days come for him to be with his family, the phone's off.
Phone's off, yeah.
Now, I think it's you know.
I have a hard time doing it.
Yeah, it's outweighed. You know, his hustle outweighs what I think his family life. But I can't really judge him because I don't know what he does when he's home.
Right.
I don't know what he does when he's not posting. I see him posting every day, but he could have spent 4 hours doing that and spent the rest, the other 20, with his family.
True.
Because he does seem to have whatever works for him, and it's right. A balance.
Right.
And that's what I needed. What do you do to work out? When do you find the time for this? How do you do this? I know there's 24 hours in the day. I'd like to sleep 10 of them.
Right, right, right.
You know, when I was fit and feeling great and stuff, I could go on 4 or 5 hours.
Right, right.
And my body didn't need it anymore. I just wake up and I can walk.
It's, you just go.
It's right. 4 a.m., but I can still walk. And by 9 o'clock when the kids are in school, you're like, my day is done. I already finished everything. Right, I could do my own thing. What's a day in the life for Manny? Well, first of all, do you get mad or do you get even?
I don't think about it. I swear to God, like my brother.
Well, you channel in your characters.
In my character, yeah. But as far personally me, like I'll give you, for instance, my brother, something happened in my Zoom class and she disrupted the entire class, whatever. And my brother was like, I would have said this, I would have blah, 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 blah. Like, what? That's wasted energy. I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I have more things to focus on. There's no benefit to anything should I get mad or even, because I feel as if you try to get even, it's distracting your focus. When a distraction has become your focus, you lost.
Right.
That's what I believe in. Back to the astronaut.
Yeah.
I realized that about a year ago, ever since I started exercising my mind. Prayer, meditate, love yourself.
How often do you meditate?
Every day, half hour a day in the morning.
Really? What do you do?
I just sit there and I'm grateful for everything. Even if I had a shitty day. Thank you for the lesson.
Do you think of gratitude when you're doing
absolutely.
It? Or do you just shut down and just try to just be clear?
Well, because of because of the phone's nonstop, not nonstop, but I have 1,000 things going on at one time, and which one do I tackle on first? First thing in the morning, throw some cold water on my face, wake up, and I just sit there out of my porch, and I just sit there, and I'm like, okay, thank you. Yeah, I had a shitty day yesterday, but it was a lesson. I always, always, always try to, at the very least, have the perspective of the glass is always half full. Because, again, at the end of the day, if you really think about it, yeah, people want to get their point across as far as it, which goes along with getting even. If there is no benefit overall, and I don't mean to sound greedy, if there's no benefit to you or whatever, but if there's no benefit to you or your family, more so your family first, why even fuel that fire
mm-hmm.
when you could focus on that energy? You could focus on, you know what, the heck with that person or the heck with that situation. We learned, and you know what, let's go to the boardwalk. Let's go, you know, spend some quality time. Because you said the 24 hours in a day, everyone gets the same amount of time. So I try to, in the morning, splash some cold water, get some blood flowing. And I just sit there and I pray. Thank you. I'm grateful. You know, and continue to protect us all over the world, as you know, with mm-hmm. what we have going on. And I redo the day. And then I will go into what's going to happen throughout my present day or the next couple of days afterwards. So ever since it's like one of those things, why try to reinvent the wheel when it's been there? The successful people, they meditate, they exercise the mind. And I never thought about, before it was meditate, meditate, meditate. That's what I saw. That's what I read. That's what I heard. And as soon as someone said, it was actually LeBron James, exercise the mind. Because I work out, I exercise and all that stuff, and I see the results, and I'm like, oh, shit, got to exercise the mind. That makes perfect sense to me. And ever since then, it's been helping me a lot. Things have been more open, more clear for me. And that's pretty much what I do. Every morning, at minimum 15, 20 minutes. There are days when I'll make up for it and do an hour.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
Especially if it's a rainy morning. Mm-hmm. I could be out there just having my cup of coffee and just sit there, and I'll have conversations with myself.
See, that's good.
You know what I mean?
That's good. I do that when I'm walking.
Yeah.
If I'm not listening to a podcast or something, I'll do that. But when I do meditate, it's a total shutdown. Like, it's quiet, earplugs, I'm zoned, and I got to try to just have all blackness. Just try to shut the mind off.
Right.
And I'll do that for about 10 minutes. And when I'm really in it, the time just goes like that.
Right. Oh, no, I know. And for me, when I do, it's like no one else is up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's so similar, but not, I don't know, darkness, I don't know if I
can. For me, I'm able, if I can't do it at the house, then I'll plan a walk around the cemetery.
That's
the
really cool.
Big one in town. And there's always this one place with a bench. Nice. And since I have my headphones on, the ones I have are ear monitors, professional singer ear monitors, the earpieces. So it blocks out everything. And you're only getting the sound coming through the speaker of your earphones.
Nice.
So I can sit on a bench and just shut everything off, just set a timer, and just be in total silence.
That's awesome.
That's even in the middle of town. I can hear a truck goes by and stuff, but that's it.
Right.
And then, you know, when you don't do it, you miss it. And you feel like you didn't have that drink of water.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know.
Because there is something refreshing about it.
Yesterday morning, the prime example for me, I totally see it. Yesterday morning, I didn't get a chance to. And last night I made up for it. You know what I mean? Hear the crickets, the bird, you know, whatever creepy things are all at.
I've been doing that lately, especially with the quarantine and stuff, because everything is just so surreal, especially right now in the world. You can't write this stuff. And just sitting in the backyard just before twilight, it's like maybe 7-8 o'clock at night, and the sun's just going down, that late afternoon, that late noon sun. It just makes everything pretty.
Yeah.
And just zone it just before the bats come out, because I'm afraid of bats too. The story would be smacking me all around and stuff.
When you go to the cemetery, do you do you have anyone in particular that you walk by in the cemetery? Or it's just, you just walk around the cemetery?
I just walk, but you can name someone and I can tell you where they are.
Right. No, what I was getting to is if there were someone
in
a cemetery.
No, there's
the reason why you walk around the cemetery is because of a certain someone in your life.
No, I...
Do you talk to dead people?
Nope.
No?
Nope. I
talk to my dad every once in a while.
Well, are you saying, are you asking me at the cemetery, am I talking to dead people?
In general.
Or just in general, all the time.
Yeah.
All the time, because I was a ghost hunter.
Right. Yes, I know that. I know that. But anyone close to you, though?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, all the time. And my dad, I just lost him 2 years ago.
Sorry to hear that.
So I said, you know, I'll do things where I'm hoping he's there. Or I'll just say, especially now, I'm like, things are really messed up.
Yeah.
You know, can you just do something to show me, you know, that you're out there? Because I know it can be done. I've seen it done. I've seen, you know, paranormal stuff. But I just, sometimes I feel a kinship with some of the people in the cemetery.
That's cool.
When I'm walking.
Yeah.
Like, there might be a tombstone that I've been passing by for years. Mm-hmm. And I'll just say, how you doing, Charlie? Yeah, and it's crazy. There's one tombstone out there that it's a family.
Right.
And it's a husband. It's an old one. It's one of those old, looks like soapstone or something. I don't even know and it's faded. But they had like three or four kids. And all of them died within a year of each other.
Oh, that's a shame.
Like, there's such a story here that I want to know about.
Wow.
you know, was it they just kept trying and they kept trying? And then eventually, like within 2 years after that, one of the parents died. You know, did they die of broken hearts? Did they die of health wow. issues? You know, what went on with this stone? You know, what yeah. went on with this family? And that's the thing that gets to me sometimes as I'm walking. There's that one stone. If I'm ever walking with anyone, if Karen's walking with me or I'll walk with my boys or something, I always point out, look at that stone. Look at the dates.
That's pretty cool.
And they're all kids. Like they've only lived like 2 years or 1 year, or 1 year. It's like a really tragic stone to look at. And it's a large monument. You know, it's like maybe 5 foot high.
Wow.
And it just says the family name and all the dates that they died. And it was like,
it's crazy, man.
1852, 53, 54.
Holy shit. Yeah. Were they like, it just says when they were born or when they were born and died?
It may show when they were born, but I knew that they were kids.
Wow. Yeah, the number's all I know. Shit. That's tough.
Yeah. But I've always walked in the cemetery since I was a kid. Yeah. I'd ride my bike out there because I didn't live too far from there. It was only 4 blocks from my house. And now where I live now, it's like a half a mile from my house. So I'll drive there and I'll just walk around. It's just a peaceful place. There's these hills and these valleys.
The one between Sherwood and First Road?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Greenmont. There's a mausoleum, Caporal.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that one. They got a beautiful mausoleum there with these two benches. And you can just sit there and the view, if you're looking out towards like Weymouth, out towards that direction.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. The way the sun, just the way the fields light up, because it's all fields out there and it's all cemetery. And then there's a field out there and it's just some houses, but it's just wow. a beautiful place to be.
That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. Wouldn't want to live there.
Yeah. I hear you. I definitely might check it out though.
No, it's a great, it's a nice
around twilight, right? Around sunset, twilight, right? Around.
No, I'll go now. During the middle of the day, it's gorgeous. In the morning, when the sun's just coming up, it's gorgeous. You know, afternoon, it's great. Now, I'll go out on my deck during twilight.
Okay.
You know, maybe get a cup of coffee. And just because like I said, everything is surreal. It's like I go out on that back deck, and I just say, what's next?
I know. Got to wait for the hornets now.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Crazy, crazy.
What's next? You know, because there's so much uncertainty that I'm like, I'm sad. I'm mad. I'm, you know, and this is just from me being out of work and not getting an income for months and for this happening. And, you know, and it's just now societies are breaking apart and this is happening and chaos is going on. And then as much as I'm sad and concerned, I'm intrigued and excited. Like, how is this going to play out? You know, and those are the moments I'll talk to God. Like, how are you going to play this out? Yep. I'm curious.
Yep. And he never tells you.
No.
He shows you.
No, he'll show me. And it's something that happens, whether it's someone says something or it might be a song on the radio that just comes up, you know, just takes everything, makes everything go away. Or a bigger event. You know, I was looking at my Joe Rogan post the other day.
Right.
He's like, well, the volcanoes in Yellowstone are starting to act up. Wow. You know, it's like, what next? You know, maybe Tiger King can bring everyone back together. It's one of those things that couldn't have come at a better time.
I actually wasted a half hour of my life for that.
You should have wasted your whole day watching it.
I couldn't.
You have to.
I just couldn't. I tried.
It was at the height. We are all told to give up our jobs, our lives, our careers, and stay home till we say you can go out. Had it not been for Tiger King.
Oh my goodness. It's tough, man. With everything going on, I had a similar, same boat as you.
That's why I'm reinventing myself, but I don't know.
I got my realtor license.
Awesome. In
the past 2 weeks. Well, I passed the school exam. Now I got to take the state exam. So I figured might as well be productive with.
That's cool.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Just anything. You just got
to
find yourself.
It to reinvent. Correct. To reinvent. And I say that in a way so people whoever is listening to that or find themselves in a similar situation and say, hey, there is stuff that you can do. It wasn't that expensive. Again, if you're sitting at home doing nothing, if you can be productive with your time, why not? Or at the very least, reinvent yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or if you're happy the way you are, you're happy the way you are. You know what I mean? Take it as long as the story said.
Right.
Extra long spring break.
Yeah.
You know I mean, whatever works for
everyone.
Just
look at things from perspectives. You know, I think there may come a time when I'd be longing for these days again because everything would be so busy and so crazy.
Oh, my God. When my agent told me, she goes, you're familiar with pilot season. For those that are mm-hmm. not familiar with pilot season, it starts around the end of January and runs through the middle of April, where it's the rush of pilot shows being cast being presented, and they need to cast all these. It's going to be that like 50 times more. So for anyone in the acting business, they have a huge opportunity coming up once this thing, you know, whenever it gets done with this COVID-19. But I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that, being busy again. But back to what you said, we're going to be, you know, a few years from now, going to be like, man, just give me one day.
Yeah. I
of
really
doing nothing.
because everything, all things must pass, and there's a yin and yang to everything, and you'll have your hills and valleys. And right now,
we just went off a cliff, dude.
We just went off a big cliff.
Yep.
So, what's the reward from that?
Right.
You know, I'm focusing on, I saw this happening. Like I saw 2 months ago, I saw riots. I saw chaos. I saw madness. I saw being associated with just people being forced to just stay home and do nothing.
Wow.
And I saw all this. And I'm sure that there are a lot of people out there who are just, that's the first time they've been out.
Yeah.
You know, so whatever was the blame, you know, this was it because we created such a powder keg between just the national divisions and society divisions and divisions here. And now we're being told to stay home and you're against us. If you want to go to work or this, it's so split. That all took was one little spark, which was and it wound up being a huge spark.
Yeah.
You know, it would have taken just a little spark to set everything ablaze, and it took an explosion.
I agree.
In that video that set this thing ablaze, but I saw it. And I not being prophetic, mm-hmm. like, you know, doing like I'm visualized, but just as a futurist and just trying to play things out.
But that's
what do I see? What do I see? But as clear as I saw all that happening and chaos, I saw a New Year's Eve on Times Square that was more amazing than anything you could have ever imagined.
Right, right.
And I see that just as clear.
Right. No, I got you.
And that's that light at the end of the tunnel. I right. see it, but this is going to be a hell of a tunnel. And what's going to go on in this tunnel? But I do see celebrations like you've never seen before.
Well, hopefully no one is foolish in mm-hmm. general. And that's with whatever they believe in. You know what I mean?
People are going to be foolish regardless. But I see this being a point where people are going to appreciate people.
Oh, yeah.
People are going to appreciate things. Because I was in a position like I have anxiety because I'm not working.
Right.
And then I have anxiety over the fact that I'm going to have to go back to work.
That's crazy, ain't it? You know what I find interesting?
So I'm using this time to think, do I want to go back to work? Do I want to go? Now, I'm not saying that I don't want to go to work. I don't ever want to work and just collect paychecks. I'm not getting any checks.
Right, right.
But I'm saying, had I always wanted to change my life and not be happy in a situation, if I don't want to play in this room anymore, mm-hmm. and I want to do something else, but I can't chance losing that as a job.
Right.
Well, the universe has done it for me. I'm out of a job. Now it's time to do all this stuff that you've been planning on doing.
Yep.
And back to you. Back to you, sir.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's great. What I find interesting throughout all this, how they said divorce rates went up, and also people have gotten together because mm-hmm. of this, because they're forced to stay with each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I could only imagine with what was going on in people's houses for the divorce rate to go up, because they don't see each other for 10, 12 hours throughout the day. They only see each other, literally 3 or 4 hours throughout the week.
Compound that on all 5 of your kids being home from school since March.
Oh my God. I guess the liquor store business is doing well.
Well, that was one of the reasons why they wouldn't close the liquor stores.
Yeah. They would go to drugs.
You know,
pot, the, whatever, you know,
not only that, but if you shut down the liquor stores, there's a lot of people who are alcoholics,
right?
Who need that,
right?
You know, who, if you don't give them that and they start having detoxes and stuff, they Ooh. Wind up tying up the hospitals.
Oh, no, I didn't think that,
that. We need wow. for, you know,
the COVID patients. Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So there was this whole method to the madness of why this was opened and that was shut down.
I thought it was because if they would resort to something stronger than alcohol if alcohol wasn't available. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought the reason why they kept it open. But, and of course, the state's involved with the, every alcohol distribution too. But,
right.
But no, I didn't think about that.
And it's also, I guess what you also have to do is just focus, like, what is your world? You know, is your world the world? What world are you going to accept? What reality are you going to accept? Because there's many realities out there right now. And which one is yours? Is it the one where you woke up and you turned the news on and you saw these riots and this destruction and you can't go to work and you can't earn an income and you can't feed your family and stuff? Or is your world the world where you went on Facebook and you saw the post of the cop with his arm around the guy walking together?
I know. Yeah, that was really cool. I saw
down,
that.
Down a street. And, who are you focusing your attention on? You know, the leaders that are giving positive messages or the leaders that aren't? The celebrities that are given positive messages or the celebrities that aren't? You know, if you focus on the people that are given the positive stuff, you'll see that you're not alone.
Right.
And there's other people that are responding, and there's other people that can relate to that. And if you choose to watch the drama for the drama,
right,
you're going to get drama, because that's what you're looking for. I think this is a time to look for all the good stuff that's going on. One of the things I wanted to do was create a good news network.
Okay.
That showed only the good stuff. It's not putting a blind side. You're not putting a blind eye to what's going on. You're just looking
shedding
at all
more
the
light on.
You're shedding more light on the good stuff going on from it or within it.
Right. I think that's great. I think that's all. Yeah. I think that's really great.
Yeah, I've been trying for years to work on one. To actually just do just a good news programming thing.
Right. I think that would, I think a lot of people would appreciate that.
Like if you had your own TV channel, what would you'd probably have dramas and stuff because you like acting and stuff.
It'd be more like fictional drama.
Fictional.
Yeah. I don't like relating anything to what's real, especially now.
That's the thing. Like I can't watch like some of the crime shows and stuff. If I want a good escape.
Right.
You know, like for me, a good escape, it's cartoons, man.
That's awesome. You can't
go wrong and with I rarely ever get to watch them anymore. I've learned to, because of Karen, I've learned to watch these crazy reality shows.
Which ones?
Oh, my God, all of them. Vanderpump and Below Deck. and below stuff. Deck.
Oh, that's with the yacht.
With the boats, yeah.
Yeah,
and I've gotten into them.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what's a good show? My ex-wife actually turned me on to it. Oh, Jesus Christ. It's with Christina Applegate.
Oh, Dead to Me or yes. something? Dead. They watched that.
Great show.
I was watching
the that. Acting in that. You got to watch a few episodes. The acting in that, yeah. It goes from whoosh, like you're all over like all over the place. Like, holy shit. She was just crying 2 seconds ago and now she's making you laugh. You know right. what I mean? It's so good.
Well, it's see that, so that's another thing. You're also looking at it from an actor's perspective.
Yeah. You can't watch TV with me.
Yeah.
Cause I'll point out everything, unfortunately, but, and it's no, just,
I get it, like
you,
that.
You know what I mean?
One of the problems with technology now and knowing what I know now is going back to older films or older records and now I hear flaws.
That's funny.
I love Poltergeist, but if I watch it now,
right,
I see how it was crazily edited. Like they're just weird edits in this film not just in the scary scenes but just in normal scenes. Some scenes play out in just one long shot. Others are cut weird. And I look at that now. I'm looking at the technical aspects of it. Yeah, you know, and it's killed me with Beatle records. Because these flawless Beatle records, I can hear the tape edits now. And I can hear...
Where the cut is.
Yeah, and I can hear all this little stuff now.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. But that's something I look forward to as well. Like if I watch Halloween... Mm-hmm. That's just, if I watch Halloween or The Thing, those are two John Carpenter films that I think are perfect films.
Okay.
And because he's a filmmaker.
Right.
And when he did Halloween, he got nobodies. The biggest person in the cast was Donald Pleasance.
Okay.
So he just got nobodies. Jamie Lee Curtis, she was nobody.
Right.
Nobody. So what did he do with the budget? He spent it on two things, lenses and development.
Wow. Okay.
There was a special processing lab. I don't know if it was a Paramount lab or a Warner Brothers lab, but they had a special processing lab for developing film. And he wanted to go to the best, and he wanted to have the best lenses for the film. And that's where he put the money. And that makes it fun to watch because watch it from a cinematographic cinematic point of view. You actually get to appreciate the shot. Look at the shot. And then
watch it again now.
Yeah, that and The Thing. And watch The Thing twice.
I was scared of it.
Watch it once over and watch it with the commentary.
Okay.
I love watching things with commentary. And it's Kurt Russell and John Carpenter just walking you through the film. Just the little things, like Kurt Russell with a flare like this.
Right.
You know, and he's holding it specifically like this because if it was this, it'd be out of frame. So it's got to be right here like this. And you start to look and realize, that's not a natural way of holding something.
Like this, right.
You know, just to make sure it's in frame.
That's what, and you know what? That's what makes the editing part fun because you try to be as perfect as you can because we see it on television every day.
Right.
You know what I mean? And with the sound, I'm just starting getting the sound, which is I thought that would be a little bit easier. For me, it comes, I guess, a little natural to find where that piece of the puzzle matches in with this one or it doesn't match. So, all right, boom, next. For me, I'm very quick at it and it comes out really good. The sound, oh my God, that's tough. For me, it's much tougher, but it's fun though. It's fun.
Sound design and music are totally two different animals.
Right.
And, you know, you can be a great musician, a great composer, know nothing about sound design. And could work the same way around.
Right.
You know, it's finding what's best for the movie in sound. You know, there's a scene in Dracula, the original one with Bela Lugosi, where he just says, good evening. And it's just this wide shot of him at the top of the staircase.
Right.
There's no sound. Okay. You know, if anything, there's just a crackle and hiss of the tape. But there's no sound. And that's important. Like, when do you put the sound in?
Good evening.
You know, and where do you put the sound in?
Right.
You know, it might be a scene where what makes sound so important is if I did an outside shot and I dropped my keys. Okay. I can do an outside shot of me drop my keys.
Right.
And I can do it. Oh, ding, I dropped my keys. And you hear the keys and then they hit the floor. Yeah. Okay. But you add significance to it. If you're going to the door and all of a sudden you hear nothing and the keys drop in slow motion.
Ah, gotcha.
And then when they do land, they crash.
Wow.
That adds significance. You need those keys right
now. Yeah.
So that's where sound design comes from. You know, is it outside? I need wind or something. No, it's silent. You keep it silent. And just have the visual of those keys dropping. And then when they hit, it shatters. It makes a shattering kind of sound.
You told me something.
Adding significance to it. You know, when do you put sound? Just because it's an exterior shot doesn't mean you have to recreate real life. You have to have ambience and the sounds and the birds chirping and stuff.
Or it could be just, like you said, silence.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets the audience to be like, why is it so quiet?
Right.
And then you just see the actor or whoever, their expression, they may have seen some, you know, whatever. Yeah. No, but or the dropping of, you know, you could see something slowly drop. Yeah.
An angry crowd scene. What would be more scary? The sounds of all these marching feet coming at you and screams and grunts, or quietness with this visual of this mass coming at you.
Or an individual from the mass.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, and then they pick up something and throw it, and that landing is the only sound you hear.
That's nuts. That's awesome nuts.
You know, and that's, I think Saving Private Ryan is probably awesome for that.
Yeah.
If you want to learn anything about sound design, you know, I think at one point something explodes near them, and all you hear is this high-pitched ringing. And Tom Hanks is just wandering on the beach with this high-pitched ringing, nothing else, just a shee.
Wow.
Like his ears are ringing.
Yeah.
And he's just looking around, and this guy's picking up his arm, and this guy's walking around doing this. And then all of a sudden, you know, something launches and lands, and that explosion wakes him up, and he's back in the battlefield. And you...
Wow.
You hear all this noise. That's sound design.
I remember
design.
That part. I know what you're talking about.
It's all sound design and how vital that is.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, I think what wakes him up is something explodes. He's got this ringing in his ear, and he's just looking around. Everything's quiet except this ringing in his ear. This, and he's looking. He's seeing this guy pick his arm up, and he's turning around, and someone's talking to him, but you can't
hear him.
You can't hear him.
Right,
lips moving. And then all of a sudden, like something shakes or something explodes behind them, and then you're back and wrapped up in the thing. And especially in cinema, you know, there's a time and a place for sound and for certain films.
Right.
Like a rom-com should not be in a theater.
I'm sorry, what?
A rom-com, a romantic comedy.
Oh, yeah.
They should not be in the theater. It's good for a date or something, but have that on Netflix or something. It's not for a theater. When you watch something like an Avengers film or a blockbuster or something with explosions or a racing film or something that takes advantage of not just the full sound system.
I got what you're saying. Yeah.
But the screen.
The visual. Yeah, the visual. Absolutely.
You got this beautiful screen. What are you going to fill it with?
Yep. Not a romantic comedy.
Yeah.
Something coming at you, you know.
Yeah. Now, there's romantic films out there that only work in a theater. That are so good, like a film like Somewhere in Time with Christopher Reeve and Jane Seymour. It's a period piece.
Right.
Yeah, he actually goes back in time. And that works great because you can really take advantage of the scope of the scene, of the film, and frame it.
Right.
And there's certain films like that where beauty is involved. If I'm going to make a love story and it takes place in Mexico, then I'm going to take advantage of the landscapes and the scenery and what am I going to have in the foreground, like a little cactus thing in the foreground, a wooden ship, but how am I going to frame that?
I got you. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Really, really cool.
So what are we going to expect from Manny Mertes from now?
What are you going to expect from me? As much as great material as possible, I like, I'm an outside of the box thinker, original content. I'll tell you one. I'll tell you one. You asked me earlier about, do you get mad or do you get even?
Mm-hmm.
Tenfold is about, getting even, but he gets even tenfold, whether it be good or bad. So one of the things he does is, can I say whatever I want?
You can say whatever you want. This is my show.
Okay. Because of the severity of what this guy did to his family, there's no other, for a man, I believe there's no other than being dead or being killed. There's nothing worse than being raped.
Right. You got a call coming in. Or is that just a
spam call?
Okay.
But I have my car warranty is about to expire.
Right.
Nothing worse to a man than being raped from, you know, another man. The character didn't rape him, but he broke a broomstick over his knees and shoved the broomstick up the other way. Mm-hmm. And that's how they found him still alive. So I like to, you know, that type of tour, like I'm not really messed up in the head. I just like to think outside the box, like how am I going to prop this up? And again, I'll say it because I've done I did a few things a little different that you normally don't say. So me and one of the actors were in Home Depot and we got an angle, little PVC. And not thinking, how would this look up your ass with another, you know, some people behind me. And he's looking at me like with his alt balls in his head. I'm like, what the fuck's the matter? I think this will fit good up your ass with the angle of it, the broomstick and all that stuff. And he's looking at me. He's like, shut up. And I turn around. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. So that was pretty funny. So that was pretty cool. But as far as what people should expect from me, hard work, good material, great material, hopefully be on TV soon. Once this all gets done, and just again, hard work and just, I'm grateful for everything. I'm grateful, not just everything, but especially with you having me on your show. So, you know, we try to connect before and I was like, damn.
Well, we have a lot in common and there's every now and then, you know, I'll see you do a project and I'll just give you a heads up or just props like, hey, keep it up, man. Don't.
No, I know. And I appreciate that. And, the one thing in particular definitely is what you inspired me from the 13th child, is Trinity. That's going to be special. Have that registered, copywritten, all that stuff. It just needs to, wait
right
for now, put it on ice, but it's all going to be good.
That's it, man. Thanks so much. So,
my pleasure, brother. I appreciate you having me on, man.
Thanks. So much. You got a website or something?
I have, mannymertes.com.
All right.
I have my blog up there for the Hook Exhibit. You can go to thehookexhibit.com as well. It'll take you there to the blog and you can see the episodes right there, but yeah, that's it right there.
That's awesome. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please be sure to tell your friends about the show. You can find The Dan Morrow Show on Anchor FM, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other listening platforms where podcasts are heard. And if you'd like to hear more great shows from these amazing guests, I can't do it on my own. It takes some support from listeners like you. Please visit my Patreon page at patreon.com/Dan Morrow. That's patreon.com/Dan Morrow. I'm on Instagram. You can find me, Dan Morrow Music, Twitter, Facebook, all that kind of stuff. And danmorrow.com. That's where you can find me. It's another one in the books. Thank you, Manny Mertes.
My pleasure, brother.
I'll see you again. Wait a second. Here we go.